Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk. So let's thank the band who are here bright and early, putting that together. If you've got a Bible or on your phone or whatever, turn to Galatians chapter 5. And I really recommend just putting your phone on airplane mode, just for or your iPad or whatever, just for the next few minutes so we can really focus. You've not got all that stuff crashing in, distracting you. Let's read the first six verses of Galatians chapter 5 then. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to everyone who lets himself be circumcised, he's obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing it itself in love. We're right now involved in the message here in Manchester, around the country, the plans we've got, and around the globe, literally unprecedented rescue mission. We really are seeing more people rescued than ever before in the history of this ministry. That's got to get us excited, hasn't it? First and foremost, with a rescue mission. And as I read the reports of the first week of hire, sat next to Michelle on Sunday morning, we just rejoiced in the thought of 118 young people who gave their life to Christ in the first week before we started the real big stuff. And you know what we rejoiced over? We rejoiced that when I was 12, I went to a gig, a little bit like a 1972 version of What the Message Do, with a band called The Sheep. And I heard this American dude preach the gospel at the end of that gig, and I went forward not quite knowing what I was doing, and they gathered around me and prayed me, and I went through a discipleship group, and I remember getting the card. There's a kind of prophetic on the back of the Sheep concert saying, it said on the front, "For God so loved Manchester that he gave his only son. So everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." And then a nice letter from the band. And I went to church for a bit and then backslid and then came back with a massive bang. But from that day, I believe I was got to heaven. Michelle went to see the Bill Mason band, new wave band in 1977 when she was 14. And the guy Bill Mason got up at the end of that gig and preached the gospel. And she went forward and gave her life to Christ. You know, no Christian influence, no Christian history in her family, just went to a gig because the Bill Mason band had been in their school, and then went to the concert at the end, and everything changed. And we were sat in bed saying how different our life would have been if the Sheep and Bill Mason hadn't been on that rescue mission out to get us. That's what we're talking about here. This is big stuff. 45 years later, here we are. And we've just got that story of great is your faithfulness, God, to all those years. So let's get excited about that, can we? This beautiful rescue mission. And 10 o'clock, straight after this, we'll have our advance monthly meeting with some of the evangelists here at The Message. And I wish I had half an hour to read you the last weeks. We have a WhatsApp group just sharing our stories. I wish I had half an hour to read you story after story after story. Not just hire 20 year on the bus, 30 year at this youth event, Poland, Japan. It's just nuts. It's absolutely nuts what God's doing. And that's 12. That's just 12 of us at The Message. It's a tiny little snapshot of what's happening. Hundreds of people saved through that group of younger evangelists. And when you think what's happening across the movement, really, really exciting. And these people are set free. Jesus sets them free. Free from the burden of sin, free from accusation, free to be accepted. And yet it's so easy to go back, isn't it? Now, I went back to my old life for a little bit. Michelle was a bit wibbly-wobbly before the evangelist Eric Delve came to Cheadle and just set her on fire with the message of the cross about a year or so later. But hey, Paul says this, it's for freedom that you've been set free. Stand firm then, don't let yourselves be burdened again to the yoke of slavery. Apparently, July the 31st, 1838, on the island of Jamaica, a man named William Nibbs gathered 10,000 slaves for a great praise gathering. And they were celebrating the news had come over that Wilberforce had won a great victory in the new Emancipation Proclamation Act that would abolish slavery had taken place in the island. And they built an immense coffin, and into it were placed the whips, the branding irons, the chains, the fetters of all kinds that these slaves had suffered under, all the things that represented the terrible slavery system that was coming to an end. And at the first stroke of midnight, Nibbs shouted out, "The monster is dying." And at each stroke of the bell that followed, the cry was repeated by 10,000 voices. And at the 12th stroke of midnight, as the act became law, 10,000 voices cried out, "The monster is dead, the monster is dead, let us bury him." And they screwed the coffin lid down and lowered it into a huge grave and covered it up. And that night, 10,000 former slaves grew hoarse, shouting praise to God and crying with joy. Once they were in bondage to slavery, but now they were free. What a great picture of what happened to us. What's happened to these kids? Once they were slaves, they were in prison by the devil, they had no hope and a future, and suddenly they're not just buried with Christ, they're alive in Christ, all that old life. There's a tragic side to the story though. While many rejoiced in their new liberty and freedom, there were some slaves that lived in remote areas of the island, and they did not know they'd legally been set free. Because they didn't know, for many years after the Emancipation Proclamation had been made law, they still continued to serve and suffer under their slave masters. The former masters had somehow successfully kept the news from them for as long as they could. By law, they'd been declared free, but they did not live as free men. Ignorance from the truth kept them in bondage. The devil, our slave master, wants to keep us in bondage, even though we've been free, we've been set free. He wants us to live the life of slavery. He wants us to live slaves, to desperately trying to prove ourselves before God, desperately trying to earn our salvation when we are wildly, crazily free. Some of you may know Jimmy Dowds. Jimmy Dowds is, this is going to work. I only decided to do this just before. Jimmy Dowds is the former pastor of a church in Dunfermline that we've partnered with, and he's Ace, Justin Dowd's dad. And we went out to Haiti a week after the earthquake with Jimmy and just had some of the greatest adventures of my life. But Jimmy posted this amazing thing, so amazing I can't find it now. Hang on. This guy posts so much stuff on Facebook, I can't believe it. Jimmy Dowds posted a thing saying, "Do I have to get up early and pray? Do I have to go to church? Do I have to love the poor? Do I have to give sacrificially? No, I don't. I just want to, because I realised how amazing and crazy and wild Jesus' love is." What a different perspective, and I can't find it, which is a bit annoying. But look up Jimmy, be Jimmy Dow's friend on Facebook, or find him and you'll read this beautiful thing he put. But as you know, I've just been to Israel a week or so ago, myself and Carl and Sam and a bunch of other people got back from Israel, and Gary Smith. And Israel is kind of representative more than any place on earth to this struggle between law and grace. You can just sniff it in the atmosphere. And we went to the Wailing Wall, of course, and we saw these Jewish people literally crying and rocking and wailing a prayer that's never going to be answered. They're praying for Solomon's temple to be rebuilt. Can we have our temple back? And they're praying to these foundation stones of the great temple. And it's a prayer that's never going to be answered because that temple's no more needed. We don't need the Holy of Holies out there. We've got in Jerusalem, we've got the Holy of Holies in here, haven't we, in our hearts. The Spirit's been poured out. And just like Jesus said, the temple was utterly destroyed and not one stone left upon another. And there they are crying out a prayer that will never be answered. We had a couple of absolutely amazing times in Israel. One was a synagogue. We just went to a hotel, and every hotel has a synagogue built into it. You know, very religious culture. And we said, can we have a meeting room? We just want to have a little devotional as a team. He said, you're sure, use the synagogue. So we went in the synagogue. And we sang in this synagogue at the cross. Absolutely amazing. And the Holy Spirit was just, thanks, Carl, was just bouncing off the walls. I just want to say, Carl, come here, Carl. Sorry, just a man just standing there. Carl's got his message team strip on today. Come on. But actually, as is Jesse. Good lad, look at him. Stand up, Jesse. There you go, what a boy. Right, thanks. Okay, here we go. He said, like me, are you kidding me? This is Jimmy Dowd's post. Are you kidding me? Do I really have to drag this 65-year-old frame to the gym at 7 a.m. again? Do I really have to go to church, worship, pray, and listen to another sermon? Do I really have to do another thing for God or for anybody else for that matter? Do I really have to go the extra mile, do so many things I'm not gifted in? No, 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 no. I don't have to do a single thing. But the truth is, like zillions of others today, I will do all of the above and a ton more because I get to. Once you come to the point where you realize you don't deserve or have earned anything in this life, but you get to enjoy everything because of what he accomplished on the cross, an explosion of gratitude floods every molecule of your being and your energies to the max because you get to return thanks and appreciation every waking moment of the day. You switch your mindset from let's avoid to let's smash it. Do you like that? I'm glad you found that. Thanks, Carl. Wonderful. Let's smash it because we've been gripped by the cross. We've been set free by Christ, wildly, crazily free. So sad to see religious Jews who don't get it. The other amazing moment we had two moments where the Holy Spirit was just bouncing off the walls during this bike ride in our devotion. We went into the upper room and we went with this character who's a slightly cheesy old gospel singer who's showing us around and was singing his way around Jerusalem in all sorts of inappropriate places. But he got us in the other room. He got us in the upper room and he said, put your hands around each other, boys. Let's sing Draw Me Close to You. You know, Draw Me Close to You. And he started with this like cheesy baritone. But we started singing Draw Me Close to You. And then we sang You're All I Need. You're all I've ever wanted. I'm telling you, it was profound. Jesus, you're all I need. You're all I've ever wanted. You're everything. Jesus and nothing else is all I need. How liberating and how wonderful and how glorious is that to be there in that place. Johnny Burr, who was on the ride with us at the Wailing Wall, had a guy come up to him, looked like a rabbi, and he said to Johnny, can I bless you? Are you a visit here in Jerusalem? Can I bless you? And Johnny said, I guess so. He said, well, can I pray for you? So this rabbi put his hand on Johnny Burr's shoulder and Johnny kind of put his hands out. He started praying Old Testament scriptures over in a prayer of blessing and it was a lovely time. And Johnny thought, that was really cool. Until the rabbi said, that'll be 100 shekels, please. And it's a kind of picture of everything Jesus was battling with in Jerusalem, all this religion and all, you know, this relationship with God that's become a money-making thing and the struggle and machine guns everywhere and tension in the air and all these religions vying for territory. In fact, don't you think the Dome on the Rock, there it is, don't you think that's an amazing thing to be on the site of the Holy of Holies? That's the place, the most holy place on earth as far as Jews are concerned, where Solomon's temple, a magnificent temple, was the temple that Jesus saw as he walked down the Mount of Olives and said, that temple will just be completely obliterated. And in its place is this golden dome, this mosque. It's almost like the Lord's saying, I've just gone, you know. I've gone. I'm no longer dwelling there. I'm dwelling here. And it's just amazing to be in Jerusalem, you know, the in some ways the navel of the universe. But to feel all that religion everywhere, there's that sniff of religion that crushes you. I wasn't even allowed to have milk in my coffee. And a waiter got quite feisty with me because says, can I have milk in my coffee, please? No, you can't, sir. Do you realise you've had meat and it's not kosher? Oh, thanks a lot. And there's actually, you know, and everywhere you go, and even the wine is like super expensive. Why? Because it's become a money-making exercise. All the religious things have said, oh, we've got to have all this special insecticide. We've got to go through this, go through that. They're digging in. You know, somewhere in the book of Exodus, it says, you can't eat a goat that's been boiled in its mother's milk or something like that. You know, 3,000 years later, I'm not allowed to have milk in my coffee in a cafe in Jerusalem. It's like, no! A whole industry's been built up around this stuff. An industry of religious, narrow little people, you know, that Jesus had so many battles with. They've come up with more and more rules to make it a heavier and heavier burden and turn the joy of serving the Lord into some money-making exercise. We can do those things in our evangelical Christianity as well, can't we? It's everywhere. We just got to root it out and no longer go back, whatever we do, to the yoke of slavery, because we're free, free to serve Jesus. Paul was desperate to show how the law and freedom in Christ are literally polar opposites. It's like the South Pole and the Sahara Desert. Firstly, those who practice these things, practice this religion, this religious spirit, and live like that, live under a burden, just opposite in spirit and heart to everything this book, everything Jesus is about. People who preach these things. How can it be that when you go into school, you know, we're in 10 schools this week, isn't that exciting? Yeah. Thousands of kids are going to hear the good news. But I guarantee you, when you go into a school class and you say, what's the first word you think of when you hear the word Christian? What do you think the word they'll say is? Boring. Every time, what's the first word you think of? Boring. Oh, but just look at Jesus. Was he boring? He was wild and crazy and free and full of life. And the reason he would become boring is because we become religious and we become about rules and we put heavy burdens on people. Paul's like, no, it's not even Galatians teaching isn't primarily freedom from sin. It's freedom of acceptance. We're accepted. It's freedom of conscience. We've not got to have that heavy burden of looking back. Oh, all those things I did in the past. What can I ever do to appease an angry God? No way. We're not under the tyranny of the law that just crushes us. We're free to serve Christ. Christ has set us free, and we must be determined to walk in that freedom. We need to be people who are just the freest people on earth, free from the shackles of worrying about financial provision. Wow, if only I could live that. Free from the burden of worrying about acceptance and profile and position, just free to serve whatever it looks like. What amazing, that's a rich person, isn't it? Paul kind of gets hot under the collar, as you might notice, about circumcision. And you think, circumcision, it's like minor surgical procedure. Ooh. Don't get inappropriate now, Andy. Honestly, if you're listening to the podcast, they've not had to delete anything from that. I'm moving on. It's a minor surgical procedure. But Paul is like, no. Paul says this, look, I tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. I declare that every man who lets himself be circumcised is obligated to obey the whole law. See, for Paul, it stands for a particular type of religion. It's a theological symbol of salvation by works. Salvation by works that could never work. And poor Paul and Barnabas had this constant battle. Read this. How tedious is this in Acts chapter 15? You know, the church has been birthed in this outpouring outpouring, incredible outpouring of the Spirit, and all this crazy freedom, and they're growing every day, and they're loving the poor, and they're meeting in each other's homes, and just having an amazing time serving Jesus. And then the religious posse gets in. And here's what happens. The council at Jerusalem, Acts 15, certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you're circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with him. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. Praise the Lord! The Gentiles are getting converted. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done to them. Some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must now be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." No! No! Don't take it back to that old rubbish Paul's like. You know, if you're going to be circumcised, try and fulfill the whole law. If that's, you know, impossible to do. Faith in Christ was all they needed, with nothing added to it. For there's only two things that matter, according to Paul. Get this. Imagine if we at The Message could live by this. The only things that matter is faith expressing itself through love. The only things that matter are faith. When the Lord comes to The Message, is he going to find a people of faith? Are we going to be marked by faith? Faith in Christ. Ambitious plans on the basis that God is for us, to make Jesus known. Faith to believe that he's not finished with us yet, and he's got good works planned in advance. Just gritty, amazing faith that keeps going when others would sack it off. Because we've got faith. Or is he going to find a people who shrink back? You've heard me say it before, but I think it's worth repeating. There's only twice in the Gospels when we see Jesus amazed. Luke chapter 7. We find a centurion coming to Jesus, not even a Jew, and his servant, who his master highly valued. Sounds like quite a good bloke, this, doesn't he? Was sick, and so he sent message to Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves you to do this for him. He's obviously a good bloke because he loves our nation, has built our synagogue. So Jesus went for him. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." I love this bloke. "That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But just say the word and my servant will be healed." When Jesus heard this, verse 9, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I've not found such great faith as this, even in Israel." Wouldn't you be loved to be someone who at some point in your life did something that just amazed Jesus? You know, whoa, that person who's just moved into that deprived estate to live long-term anonymously just because he loves me. I'm amazed by that. That's great faith. That person just didn't just do a little tithe, but gave massively sacrificially. I was with a bloke on Friday night. He went to a YWAM fundraiser. He just sold his house a few years ago. He's just sold his house, and he had the money in the bank, and he was going to go and buy another house in Ireland. And he went to this YWAM fundraiser. And when they said the amount of this house they were trying to build to rescue trafficked women, the amount was exactly the amount he had in the bank. And he looked at his wife and he wrote a check and gave it all and rented a house and started again. I think the Lord might have been pretty amazed by that, don't you? I think when that guy gets to heaven, he'll be glad, like, glad I made that crazy, radical, wild faith step, don't you? I just think, is there some things that we could do that would just amaze heaven? Because all that matters is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But for the person of faith, anything is possible. Stir up our faith. Let us grow in faith. The other time we see Jesus amazed, only twice in the whole of the Gospels we hear this phrase, is in Mark 6. He goes home. It's weird, isn't it, that often in the hometown, as Jesus said, prophets and leaders and even Jesus himself were not really acknowledged. And he says a prophet's not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives. And he couldn't get this. This is Jesus, the Lord of glory, operating, you know, God and man in human flesh. He could not do many miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. That's a bad day for Jesus. We'd be quite excited by that, wouldn't we? But he could not do many miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. What's it going to be, people? If all that matters is faith expressing itself in love, what's it going to be? Are we going to be people when they come to Manchester and we look at the September management accounts and we hold our head in our hands and we're like, oh no. Are we going to be people of faith who go again because we've got the word of the Lord? The Lord says we're going to see rivers. The Lord said we're going to see mighty nation come to him. The Lord says the righteous, the cause is going to shine. We look at the promises, not look at the problems. And we step out in faith again. Help us be those people who amaze you, Jesus, by our great acts of faith. But it's not just faith, is it? It's not just crazy foaming at the mouth faith. Because some faith teachers and some faith people. You know, I had a woman on Sunday and I did a talk at Ivy. And this lady came up and it was, I'd got the talk. It's a series called Ivy Care. You know, it's all about let's get in pastoral. And I'm like, Ivy Care, Ivy Smear, you know, come on. What about the lost people out there? And let's not get all introspective. But anyway, my talk was called Be Well. Don't be well. What about them? They're thoroughly unwell and they need Jesus anyway. I calmed down a bit and I did the talk. And actually, I was really glad I did. And the Lord spoke to me a lot. And we do need to be well and have a healthy rhythm and a healthy. But, you know, as an evangelist, for about the first half an hour preparing this talk, I was like, sack this. But a woman came to me at the end of the service and said, Andy, that was so amazing to hear you preach like that, because my husband promised me he was never coming here. You were going to speak again because you always sound so angry. I was like, oh, I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be one of these faith people like, rah, 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 rah. I want to have faith that expresses itself. I wish I hadn't told you that now because you'll hate me now, don't you? Faith that expresses itself in love. There's no such thing as private faith, is there? There's no such thing as faith that's just about me and my big faith muscle so people can be proud of my vision. It's faith that expresses itself in love, small acts of love every day. And as the Lord looks around the message, is he not just going to see ever greater faith, but ever greater acts of love and compassion and heart for the poor and the broken? I think he is. I think he could be amazed at just the beautiful way we just serve one another and serve the poor and believe in the hardest to reach. And we had stories in our MEC meeting of people who, what a roller coaster it's been trying to disciple them. But actually, they're onwards and upwards. And we go again and we keep believing and we realize there's endless second chances at the cross. Let us be people who grow in faith, but realize that out of this platform of it's all about grace, it's all about what Jesus did, we have ever greater opportunities to express that faith in love. Literally nothing else matters. Literally everything else will spring from that. All our vision, all our plans, all our growth in scale and impact mean nothing without two things. Faith, and faith that expresses itself through love. Can we stand together? So, Jesus, I just pray as your eyes range this room today, you're here, you promised to be here. Oh, God, I pray you'll see people of faith, determined faith to keep going, to keep at it, to keep believing. Thank you for your amazing track record. And we sang it to start this morning. Great is your faithfulness. Thank you that our faith is based on your faithfulness. You're the faithful one who went to the cross for us. You're the faithful one who rose and conquered sin and death. You're the faithful one who set us free from any burden of rules and regulations and weird stuff we need to do to please you. Thank you that we are free because of the cross. Thank you that we get to do this for you because we love you. And we pray for ever greater faith in this room. And Lord, we pray through our movement around the world, ever greater opportunities to express your love to a hurting world. Thank you, Jesus. Speak to us, stir us up, get us excited. Excited through it all. Yes, Lord, I pray we will be a passionately excited people who never lose the joy of our salvation through all the rubbish we have to face. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, man. Can we just turn into groups? And we're in 10 schools this week. This is no small thing. We've got another big gig at the weekend in Warrington. And then we're moving towards the Message Conference when we will see hundreds of kids come to Christ in one hit. Just lot and pray. We had this weird day last week where 4 schools in one area cancelled. Bam, 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 bam. And it just felt like God was saying, you've got to step up the prayer. This is a battle. As if Satan wants our teams to go into those schools. And suddenly they realise Christians aren't boring, but they're alive. And Jesus is alive. Yeah. So Satan doesn't want that. Satan wants the lie that Christianity's boring and Jesus is boring. Well, we're not having that, are we? So we pray for every door to open, door to hearts, and the fruit that lasts. And yes, God, could it be that in a couple of weeks' time we'll even be celebrating thousands? Oh, Jesus can do that. He can accelerate things. So in groups of 4 and 5, we're going to pray for higher. And then we're going to finish. We're going to have 3 minutes praying and we're going to have 3 minutes singing an amazing song that Becky's now going to decide what we're going to sing just to finish off this, right? All about faith expressing itself in love and about no longer being a burden of slaves. So, okay, around the room, just pray for higher. Groups of 4 and 5. Okay, let's do it.
Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.